Let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we open your word this morning, that you will be here with us by your Spirit, that we will appreciate the message that you would have us to learn today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning was Mark 4, 1-9. The sower. It is a story that we know very, very well. And often when we read this story through, I don't know about you, but with me, I guess in times past, the emphasis is always placed on the results. The size of the crop. We look at the different types of soils, but we always look at the crops. And I guess that's understandable. In an agricultural setting, that is what we consider, the crop. But in looking at this morning, I want to consider with you that where we need to emphasise is the fact in a spiritual sense that the sower went forth and sowed. The sower went forth and sowed. Because when you look at it through the eyes of agriculture, the question I can't help but wonder, but why was the sower careless? When you plough up your field, you know the boundaries of your field, you always put the seed where the good soil is. It's only natural. You don't want to waste it. Seed's not cheap. But here you've got the seed being scattered. Good soil, bad soil, rocky soil, all types of soil. Why not just good? I remember, though, growing up where I grew, in the district of Mardala in Gippsland. If you were to drive down what we called the main road, on one side you had my parents' property, then you had the main road, what we called a number 6 drain, and paddocks and farms beyond that. And if you drove past and looked at all the fields, the paddocks, they all looked the same. But see, where we were on the edge of what they call peat. Over the drain, on the other side, it was good peat soil. Good for growing potatoes. But unless you knew, it all looked the same. Interesting situation. And so when you consider this parable, the scattering of the seed, then maybe we cannot tell what type of soil we're sowing onto. And to emphasize this point, I want to look at 6 examples in the Bible. The importance of sowing. 6 examples within the Bible, and with the first 3, we got positive results from very unlikely soils. And then the examples 4-6, we got results which are disappointing. And yet at face value, you would think the soil would have been productive. But at the end of this message, the point we want to emphasise is the importance of sowing. We need to be willing to sow. Example number one, situation number one. I want to go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we have a story that we know so very well. John 4, beginning with verse 5. Here we got Jesus in an interesting situation. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. We know this story very well, the story of the lady from Samaria, the woman of the well. And at face value, you would say, this is very, very poor soil. Not good soil. After all, she was not a Jew. She was a Samaritan. She had a troubled past, or a wild past. With so many husbands, so many men in her life. She was a lady of does not look kindly upon. Would you sow seed for this lady? Possibly not. Possibly not. But it's interesting that Jesus thought he would still have a conversation with this lady. And as the conversation develops, you see some interesting things happening. In verse 19, let's pick it up. John 4, go with me to verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place when men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he shall tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. What an interesting conversation. How it develops from just give me to drink to the point that Jesus now says to this lady, hey, the Messiah you're looking for, the one who you're looking for to see, I'm right here in front of you. I'm the Messiah. What a revelation. What happens? Verse 28. The woman then left the water pot and went away into the city and said to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things ever that I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out to the city and came unto him. What a result. The seed was sown. What a harvest it reaped. What a harvest it reaped. Verse 43. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. 2 days in this township. Would we have considered this lady to be good soil? No. And the exciting thing was, and this is why this story is so much loved in this way, is that Jesus did the sowing, the watering, the reaping. And sometimes we can have that experience too. The sowing, watering, and reaping. But sometimes it doesn't quite happen that way. Luke chapter 19, come with me there. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, beginning with verse 1. Now Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little in stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Zacchaeus. We all know this story very well. We remember the little song we were taught in cradle roll. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. The wee little man was he. How does the second line go? Done well. We know it well. But have you ever considered the question, who did the sowing? In reality, we don't know. Someone did the sowing. Someone along the way would have said, hey, have you heard about this man Jesus? Have you heard about him? Good preacher, good speaker. Wonderful things happened around Jesus. You need to go and see him. Would you have sowed seed with Zacchaeus? After all, he was one of those people that we don't like. He was a tax collector. Hated. But somehow the seed was sown that he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. You know, we all can sow seeds. Someone gave him the idea, see Jesus. Might be the people you meet at a train station. Meet anywhere. Might be the way you talk, the way you act. Like the other song we've learnt so well, can the world see Jesus in me? Can the world see Jesus in you? And I can just imagine Zacchaeus climbing up into that tree. Man of wealth, man of position, man of dignity. You don't expect to see them climbing up into a tree. And then Jesus standing up underneath that tree and looking up and saying, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to have afternoon tea with you. I want to come and spend some time with you. Me? I want to come and spend some time with you, Zacchaeus. And what an afternoon it would have been. One-on-one conversation, opening up Zacchaeus' words of life. And the conversion that took place. in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And I've taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to thine house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. Someone did the sowing. Jesus did the watering and reaping. Zacchaeus. The woman at the well. Rough diamond. Jesus did the sowing, the watering and the reaping. Zacchaeus, someone did the sowing. Jesus did the watering and the reaping. Individual number 3. Coming back to John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Interesting how people came to Jesus at different times of day and night. John chapter 3 verse 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus. Here we have a person that belonged to the right side of town. He had position, he was wealthy. He was a leader among the Jews. But he came to Jesus by night. He didn't want anyone else to see him. What do we find? Did Jesus expose the fact that he came that night? No. Did Jesus tell others that he came that night? No. What we find is that Jesus was willing to treat Nicodemus with respect, was willing to meet him where he was at. He did not pull him down, he treated him with respect. And told the truth in love and with sensitivity. And when Nicodemus went away that night, he had a lot to think about. I guess from this scene there are things we can learn too. When we share the truth, do we share it with love? Do we share it with sensitivity? Do we show respect to others the way that we should? And again, can they see Jesus in you? And while it would appear that Nicodemus did not join the followers of Christ at that point, but he watched. He watched to see what would happen. And when Jesus was finally placed on that cross, Nicodemus remembered the words that Jesus shared with him that night. How that as Moses lifted up the serpent, so he was going to be lifted up. It was interesting how it all came together. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Come with me there. John 19. Here we have an interesting scene. Jesus is now on the cross. He has died. John 19:38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. What a scene. What the followers of Jesus could not do, these two wealthy men were able to do. On that day, they showed their love for Jesus. They were not afraid to show it. But I wonder if the response would have been the same if Jesus had not been loving and kind to Nicodemus that night. What a wonderful help to the early church Nicodemus was. In the book Desire of Ages, it shows how that in the early church, Nicodemus gave generously of his wealth to help that early church get off the ground. And it was during that time that Nicodemus would sit down with John and share with him the interview that he had with Jesus that night. Sensitivity. Jesus did the sowing with Nicodemus, but it was the early church that enjoyed the reaping. Jesus on the cross brought conviction. And all too often, we look to see what results were, but hey, the challenge is to each be faithful in doing our part. The next scene I want to look at is an interesting one, John chapter 6. Come with me there. John chapter 6. And the scene that we're going to look at now is a, in some ways, at face value, is tragic. But I'm going to come back to this scene at the end of our message. John 6. And I pick it up in verse 61. John 6, verse 61. Here Jesus is talking to the multitude about himself being the bread of life. And this is where we pick it up in 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore say I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. In this scene, we see Jesus explaining who he is. But they couldn't accept it. They walked away. Too hard to follow, too hard to grasp. You know, people walk away even today, don't they? And we write them off as being failures. But hey, the seed is sown. The seed is sown. And we need to keep that in mind, that the seed was sown for these people. And while it seems as though in this scene the result is negative, and yet, sometimes a negative situation can still become positive. Remember that. We'll come back to this later. Mark chapter 10. Mark the chapter 10, we have another scene. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we have another scene. We have a story that we know so very well. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Here we have the story of the rich young ruler. We know all about this story very well. He was a good young man, good Jewish young man. Someone had sown the seed, and the young man was interested in what Jesus had to offer. He was attracted to him. He wanted to be blessed. He wanted to have peace of mind. And Jesus, looking at him, could see what a wonderful young man he was. What a wonderful asset he would be to the group. Because when you look at the group, they were a motley group. Not too many outstanding winners among the 12. But see, for the seed to be good seed, it must bear fruit. There has to be a ripening of the grain. And as Jesus looked at this young man, he could see that there needed to be that ripening of the grain before the harvest. The grain had to be ripened. So he gave to this young man a challenge. If you want to be a part of my group, if you want to have true peace of mind, if you want to have salvation, sell what you have, take up the cross, follow me. What would he do? What would he do? In verse 22, we got the answer. He was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved. What a sad ending. So much potential, he could have done so much. We say, what a shame, and rightly so. But if the seed doesn't mature, there's never a harvest. And I guess we have to accept that some grain will grow and some will not. It's a fact of life. And this is especially so when it comes to the spreading of God's word. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Here we have another rather tragic scene. Because this involves an individual who was part of the inner group. Judas. Judas was part of the inner group. He experienced the power of God. He healed. He preached. But he never allowed himself to be converted. Had head knowledge. He was a good orator, no doubt. But he never allowed himself to be fully converted. He still wanted to be his own person. And so the scene was set for a tragic fall. And yes, we read about how he betrayed his master. But in Matthew 26, we got here the very tragic end. Verse 14, how we see how that one of the 12 called Judas went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me that I will deliver him unto you?" They covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Tragic. And in Matthew 27, we got these words, 1-5. "And when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And I said, 'What is that to us? See thou to it.' And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hung himself." What a sad result for one who could have done so much for the church of God. But he made a choice, and he had to face the end result of that choice. And that applies to us all. God gave to us each one the power of choice. And we each have to live with the end result. Final scene. Acts chapter 2. Come with me there. Acts chapter 2. Here we've got the day of Pentecost. Peter is preaching. People are listening and being converted with what they're hearing. Being convicted. The message is getting through to them. They all remember very vividly that in the last few months, things had happened. The death of Christ, his resurrection. And as Peter is now preaching with such conviction, they are being convicted also. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, 'Save yourselves from this untoward generation.' Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." What a sight. All these people being baptized and brought into the church. Question. But why did it happen? Was it just the preaching of Peter? Was it more to it than that? It's interesting in the book, Acts the Apostles, the point is brought out that all the people who were baptized that day, the seed was sown by Christ. Pentecost was a reaping time for what was sown by Christ in his ministry. And I cannot help but wonder, for those who walked away that day, how many of them would later become convicted with the preaching of Peter and were baptized. It's interesting. You can never tell. In the first three examples, you've got the woman at the well. Would you call that good soil? No. Not at face value. Nicodemus, one of those hated tax collectors. Zacchaeus, rather. Then there's Nicodemus. Another individual. Three unlikely people who would be converted, perhaps. Then we think of the rich young ruler. People who walked away. Judas. So many people, different backgrounds. But come with me now back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, where we began. Mark chapter 4. And the key to this whole story, I believe, is in verse 3. The sower went forth to sow. The sower went forth to sow. My question to you and to myself is this. Are we willing to sow? Are you willing to sow? Are you willing to sow for the Master this week?